Yep, I do. This morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not only in word only, but also in the power, in the Holy Spirit, and full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia." More words for the people of God. That scripture ends with this idea that you may become examples to all believers. And I love that as long as I don't have to do it all myself. Right? Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Do you remember the movie, the book, Eat, Pray, Love? I don't remember the actual movie very well. That's not a gift of mine. But I remember the feeling of watching it, or some of the feelings. I remember excitement when the movie came out. And then I remember a whole lot of other feelings while experiencing it. Sadness that this woman felt so lost. Fullness as she ate her way through Italy, right? Gosh, I couldn't even eat while watching the movie. It was too much. Right? And then I felt this contemplation as she tried to pray. And tried. And then I remember a feeling of thankfulness that she tried something new and it worked out for her. And more importantly, that she was able to find peace. And maybe, perhaps, I remember the movie with fondness because I love anything that Julia Roberts is in. Yeah. As this seasons change and the colors are turning and they try to run away from us, and as we pack up Halloween costumes but don't put the pumpkins away, and as we begin to prepare for the scheduling of holiday dinners, oh, what a joy. These verses from Thessalonians came to mind. I remember you. I give thanks to God for you and mention you in my prayers constantly, remembering before our God your work of faith and your labor of love. Although we're not the church that Paul was looking to establish, and we're not the area that he was run out of, same place, by the way, right? We are still a church in a field full of people who desire to share in their faith together, who desire to worship God together and to do the work and the love of Jesus in this place, to show our devotion and our care as disciples of Christ. And although Paul will never stand here with us and he will never send us a note of praise and excitement for our work, we can appreciate his words to the church that he wrote to, his praise for a people that wish to live out their Christian behavior, their Christian ways, in a way that would leave a door open to continue to witness to others. Now I need to admit to you, out of those five vows of membership that we make, that I will support my church with my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, and my witness, that witness is one of the more challenging ones for me. Prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness. Maybe for you that's not your most challenging one. Maybe one of those other ones gets you, right? But witness is a challenge for me. And that would sound funny if you knew the younger me. As a little girl, and as I'm seeing in Abigail, maybe too much, I loved to tell my stories. Oh, I'd line up my dolls, especially on the glider in the backyard, and I would teach them. And I would tell them stories, and I'd tell them everything that would happen, and I'd use such great details, right? Oh, yeah. I loved to tell them how I saw a situation went down, right? And I'd add all these feelings I had and descriptions of the characters, right, as best that I could. And I think I ended up talking to my dolls a lot because I think adults got tired of my stories, which unfortunately sometimes happens to Miss Abigail, right? But as I have aged, I have learned that there comes responsibility with witnessing or sharing one's story. And at times, that responsibility feels far greater than what I'm prepared for. And yet, when I read words that have been penned by others' hands or spoken from voices of those whom I trust, that tell me that in a small way, I have accompanied them or walked with them or ushered them through a hard time or helped them understand a biblical understanding, their words have meant a lot to me. And I'm guessing, just guessing, that the church that received Paul's letter appreciated his words in a similar manner. See, these were just people who didn't want to be different. They didn't set apart to become this whole new big thing. I think that's part of why Paul got pushed out. He was maybe a little too much for them. But they wanted to love and serve God. And they wanted to do those things that they had heard Jesus was doing. Radical hospitality is the word we like to say now, right? But he was being a little daring, shall we say, in how he behaved and whom he chose to eat with and spend time with, care for, and invite others to care for. But these people didn't want to be so different, and they didn't travel halfway around the world like in that book where Liz had to go all the way to Italy, which not a bad place to go, right? Right? But they just wanted to live in their hometown and do God's work, and they just wanted to be there and worship and have their practices of faith that Jesus had taught them. But they lived in a city that was full of cults and a cult culture. And they got the idea that you couldn't worship God and be part of one of those other groups, not wholeheartedly anyway. And so they decided to do something that people thought was different. And they said if you were going to commit to the Christian faith, that you had to lose membership in those other organizations. That you couldn't serve God and be the church as well as doing all of those other things. And that ended up setting them apart from their neighbors, from their friends. For some, even set apart from their relatives who didn't understand. I remember when I was a kid and I learned about the Ten Commandments in church. And then I went to school and someone copied off of my paper. And I was very hurt. Not only that they didn't think for themselves, right? But also, I knew they went to church on Sunday too. And if I learned about the Ten Commandments at church, they must have learned it too. How could they be in church on Sunday and copy from my paper during the week? I remember when I learned about a theft from the church with those who had been entrusted with processing financial gifts. I remember how the congregation felt so broken, the mistrust. And I remember wondering, how could you worship with us on Sunday and then pocket our money on Monday? Wasn't that gift to be used for God's work in the world? But I also remember the leaders of that church and how devoted they were to serving God's people, and how they taught me that sometimes we get snickerdoodled, and yet we're called to forgive. I also remember my grandmother liking to sit in her favorite spot in her pew, right? Most people knew not to mess with her. But newbies who thought it looked like a great spot might try it sometime, and with grace and care, she sat somewhere else. And then I remember for weeks her showing up an hour earlier. So it didn't happen again. I've been doing a lot of remembering and thinking this last couple weeks. And I realized that based on my maternal grandmother's age and my mother's age, that I've already lived half of my life by now. Oh, those are hard things to think about. I invite you who desire to do some math and the rest of you to just let it go, right? Because in that reflection, I think about my future. What comes next? What's worth doing? What's the purpose of our work or our toil? What experiences are worth the limited time that we have? And I'm drawn back to this scripture that says, thank you for witnessing to God's faith. Thank you for being witnesses to those around you that sharing God's love is important. I have to read it the right way. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, remembering before God your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope. I'm drawn to those, some people said, call them love notes, right? Make a little folder and put the love notes in. I'm drawn to those notes, right? Not necessarily even because of the content, but because of the idea that someone took a minute to say something that I needed to hear. And I'm drawn to the time that I desire to sit down and write my own notes. Oh, I love sending notes. I love making phone calls, but they're a little more awkward because after you say the one thing you want to say, then you have to like figure out the rest of what you're going to say. So the notes are safer for me. Right? But I can just imagine some of the notes that I have been waiting to write and some of the notes that I would love to send to those who have been part of my past. Right? Thank you. Thank you for being an example of one who received the Word of God with joy. Can you think of somebody who might fit in that spot? Thank you for being someone who felt the power of the Holy Spirit so strongly that you shared your story of faith with me. Thank you for being one that has inspired me to look in the Bible and to see that there's other versions of the Bible and to find life in all of them. Thankfully, I've been able to write a few of those notes to people that Jim reminded me we can call saints, even when they're sinners sometimes too, right? I shared with you in the newsletter that my one of my teachers passed away, Mrs. Frame, and it's worth saying again in case those of you haven't had a chance to catch up on the newsletter, but Mrs. Frame was one of those people. She was a pillar of faith. Think Eleanor Roosevelt, right? Strong and tall and her hair in some sort of 50s do that never changed. Yeah, her and Mrs. Stanichka, two women that you just didn't get in the way of, right? But I remember that Eleanor was one of those people who would teach us during the week but would worship with us on Sundays. Oh, she'd never dance or clap her hands or put a costume on or anything like that. That would be silliness. But she would let you know that she believed God loved you and that she did too. They had her funeral this last couple weeks ago. And I think about how many people she affected. One of them, misfits, is that what they called them back then? One of those hoodlums posted in a Facebook school group and said, I don't know if anyone else saw this or was loved by her like I was, but she really understood me. And I thought, oh, coming from the boy that nobody understood, right? But she lived her faith in such a concrete way. Who are those people? Or more importantly, how will we be those people for others? Not because we want him to remember us. I mean, that's great too, right? Especially on a good hair day. This isn't it, right? But how can we be those people who teach the stories of faith to children and others? How can we be the examples, right? Those who support people in their own journey of faith, even when it doesn't look at all like the journey of faith we think they should be on, right? Oh, I'm reminded that you only know the stories about my life that I've shared with you and those you maybe find on the internet. Don't trust them all, right? Whew. But we all have some parts of our lives that maybe wouldn't call us to be standing in a robe up front on a Sunday morning leading worship, right? And yet, we have been called, we have been asked, we have been invited by God to show our thankfulness, to live a life of gratitude, and to count our many blessings one by one. I'm thankful for those people in my life who taught me that, like it says in the scripture, I was chosen by God. I'm thankful for the ways that I can recognize how I have been blessed. And I know that sometimes blessings look more like a box that the post office has kicked down the road all the way to my house after it got lost, and less like the beautiful wrapped packages that we'll have under our trees maybe in the next 7 weeks. And yet they're blessings all the same. I pray that scriptures like this renew your faith and remind you that you are loved. I hope that verses like this remind you to think about those who have instilled within you a trust of God and how you too can be an example, how we can live our lives in such a way. With God's help, may it be so. Amen.